Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I am Daniel Prue and joined here as always by my fellow hosts, Philip and Darren. Hey guys, how are you doing?
Well, it's been a fun week. You know, that new Star Trek movie came out. It's really doing... Actually, that's a typo. Star Wars movie just came out. So that has kind of been all encompassing. But there's also been some great Star Trek news with some more casting for Discovery. So I'm slowly warming back up to being hopeful for this series.
It's going to be a real show.
I don't know. I haven't seen any.
It does exist.
I haven't heard any set announcements. So basically, it seems pretty low budget. You're just going to have 10 people.
All green screen the whole time?
No, they're just in a field in Canada somewhere. Just the 10 of them.
They're renting one of the fan-made bridges.
So it'll look just like Stargate SG-1. That was shot in Canada. So...
Oh, I wonder what the bridge is going to look like.
Oh. Or bridges.
No.
There could be two
bridges. There are going to be two bridges.
There are. Klingon ships.
With Klingons and everything.
Right. No, I think it's going to be like, we won't actually see the bridge for a while, right? Because it's a lieutenant commander. Who knows if she'll have bridge duty?
What's the rec room going to look like? That's what I need.
What's
to know.
Auxiliary power station going to look like?
What are the chicken sandwiches?
Does she
going
have
to
a battle
like?
Station? Because that would be awesome.
Oh, well. You know what? That's a fun topic, and maybe we'll get into it, but not today.
We're not doing a fun topic at all.
Nope.
No.
Zero fun. Deactivate those fun algorithms.
We are actually going to talk about the people that make us go. See, I was sitting here and I was thinking, you know, we have these broad range. We can do anything we want in Star Trek now. And it's great and it's fantastic. And so, you know what? I wanted to talk about these archetypes. You know, every Star Trek show has the captain, obviously, right? And every Star Trek show has the doctor. And every Star Trek show has the alien. And every Star Trek show has Data. Oh, wait, no, that's not true. But no, you know what I'm saying? There are these rules that Star Trek kind of lives by. And, you know... It does it fairly well, and it's a really good formula. So I figured, and not particularly because it's the lowest rung of the ladder. I feel like that's kind of unfair. I think it's very important. But, you know, it's one of those things that, let's just start. Let's talk engineering guy, chief engineers of our crews that we get to watch. So per usual, before we even start, let's just say, what do you guys think about chief engineers? Do they tend to be some of your favorite characters? Some of the characters that you don't care that much about? Do you have any particular... I mean, you guys know how I feel about blue shirts, but do you guys have any love for the engineering red shirt?
Or gold shirt,
Shirt as it changes into
I
later on?
I think engineers are kind of more of a season two kind of thing. It doesn't seem like they're really season one material. No, I think overall, I mean, the engineers that we see... It's nice because we see the Starfleet engineers, but we also see engineers from other species, from other organizations. And I think, you know, or even in the movies, we have Jayla, who I would count as an engineer. So I think there is a good pantheon of engineers to draw from.
Yeah. You know, as I think about it, I can't say that, you know, any of the chief engineers jump out at me. No, I mean, I can name them all. I know them all. No, but I mean, I'm like, oh, I like them all. But yeah, I think they're definitely an interesting character. Though I think engineers as a whole, like to me, as someone who tries to struggle with like, you know, a Starfleet career, what would that look like and all this stuff? I'm like, to me, it seems like 80% of people, at least in 24th century Starfleet, are engineers. Because then you get, like, the operations engineers, and then, like, that's everyone. Like, unless you're, you know, excluding, like, the captain, you know, that's, like the top 1%. But, like, you just have, like, random helm, security, and then blue shirts, you know, but we don't talk about them. But then, like, everyone else has to know how the spatial anomaly tachyons is going to help the anomaly main deflector power. You know, like, that's everyone. You know, that everyone has to know that. And to me, that's sort of almost like the majority of Starfleet that I always see. And so I'm like, well, I guess that's what you'd have to be in order to know what you're talking about, unless you were going, like, you know, science medical.
Well, that would make the most sense, too. I mean, I get what you're saying. I think, certainly, even if you're a doctor or security, you're definitely going to have some basis, some lower level understanding of engineering, just because of the nature of where you are and the spaceship and all of this stuff. I think it also represents this kind of, you know, technology as a problem solver kind of attitude that Star Trek has in general. And then the chief engineers are kind of the pinnacle of that. They're the ones that kind of that understand these kinds of things on a very physical level, and they're problem solvers. They're thinkers. They're people that kind of work through these issues, and you know that, you know, and for a lot of times it seems like they seem to be also. Well, we'll get into it. So let's
they
just
are the
start.
Wish makers. They are the dreamer of dreams.
Exactly. So let's just start with the first. The first,
true.
Of course, as we do here on SETI Alpha 3, we're going to go chronologically speaking in the universe. So, yep.
So Zefren Cochrane, right?
Well, we That's could true. Start with Zefren
the,
Cochrane.
Patron now, saint.
Actually, Lily, let's all be honest.
She was
Lily.
Doing all the work. I do like that. The mythos of the Cochrane. And then, like, you know, it's like, oh, how'd you do that, Dr. Cochrane? He's like, well, the way I did it was,
Lily will tell you how I did that.
You see her hand, like, passing a note, and he's like, well, according to me, what I did was...
Cochrane just owned
did
the
I
field
mention
in Montana.
My statue? I mean, Lily doesn't have a statue.
See, now I feel like, what's the, Darren, that movie that's coming up that I told you about? Hidden, that you saw already, the trailer. Hidden Figures, is that what it's called?
Oh, yes, Hidden Figures.
Like, Lily should be in that movie, right? Because I feel like, you know, look, you have, you know, all these people, whether it's, you know, Geordi or Captain Archer, you know, Zefren Cochrane is our hero. I'm like, what about Lily? Who's talking about Lily? Where's Lily's statue?
It's, you know what, it's probably down there by, past the trees where he peed.
Oh, come on. I think that is engineering whitewashing. I said it.
You know, we're mainly going to focus on the chief engineers here, but we can talk about Cochrane because he is, I mean, he's essentially
he has a unit of measurement ultimate. Named after him.
He's got a unit of measurement named after him. I mean, he built warp. I mean, he is essentially
several
the
elementary schools.
Fundamentally important engineer in Star Trek.
I mean, the very first chapter is called Zefren Cochrane.
So, and obviously, you know, with the first contact, he going back, and a big part of that story is the fact that you don't go back and meet your heroes, right? Because history is kinder to some people than to others. But certainly, obviously, he must be a brilliant engineer. He showed up in Enterprise too, right?
Yeah,
I think,
and the original series, but he was a little crazy at that point, right. I think. So,
and made young again. It's very complicated. And he, yeah, and he married
not James
and
Cromwell,
he married an
think,
energy
so.
Cloud and it, look it's things were different in the 60s guys.
Yeah. And you're talking about the 2360s, right?
Exactly.
So moving on really to our first big character here, we'll talk about Trip. And he was actually, you know, and I think not just for me but for a lot of people, the one of the highlight characters from Enterprise. And I think mostly thanks to I was going to say Dominic Keating, but that's not right.
Connor O'Neill.
Connor Trinneer's fantastic acting and kind of charm. But he was also one of the most interesting characters in Star Trek Enterprise. How do you guys feel about Trip?
Well, I feel like with Trip, you know, to me it's interesting to always look at the chief engineer's role. Like, obviously they're the chief engineer, but like what role do they play overall in the command structure? And to me, Enterprise sort of set him up as the first officer of Enterprise. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of had T'Pol kind of sandwich in there, and then cheese sandwich in there, but that's another podcast. But anyway, but he's at least the second officer, you know, on Enterprise. So, I mean, he's pretty high up. I mean, obviously he has the captain's ear through his friendship. He's the one who's sitting there at the dinner table, you know, or at the mess or whatever with the captain. So, I mean, he's sort of his number one. So, but that's, you know, which is not necessarily the chief engineer. That's just how they can certainly change depending on their relationship with the captain. But I think Tripp, you know, at least me coming from the American South, you know, he's a very sort of like, you know, it's easy for me to picture him in that role, sort of the grease monkey. You know, he has, you know, the three cars on cinder blocks, you know, in Florida somewhere in his house, you know, and he has, and like, I think his, you know what, his coveralls really should have just been like dirty every episode, you know, the chief, you know, because he's in coveralls already for the Enterprise uniform, so. But yeah, I think he obviously brought a lot to that show.
Yeah, I could see Tripp running many Tom Paris programs if the holodeck were, you know, in existence back then. I could see
like his car stuff.
Yeah, I could see him and Tom getting along really well. Just, I mean, he's a little closer decade wise to late 20th century technology, but yeah, no, Tripp was a great character, like you said, Daniel. He's kind of one of the most interesting characters of Enterprise, has a lot that we know about him. He has a direction, and I also like how Enterprise portrays his team a lot. You know, there's a lot of times when things are going on, and I mean, they're all extras, so we don't necessarily see, you know, they don't have lines all the time, but you always got the sense that Enterprise was run by a team, like keeping it together and pushing the boundaries, and they were always fixing stuff and crawling all over the ship. Whereas in, you know, like Next Gen, yes, we definitely saw Geordi's team, not to skip ahead, but I feel,
I think it was Enterprise, two episodes though, maybe, where we saw Geordi's team.
Yeah, I feel like alone. Enterprise, it was like always going
no,
on.
No, I know, you're right.
You know, so I felt they did a really good job with that, which, you know, an engineer is only good as his team.
Well,
you know, and sometimes you got to transfer him by cable. He's so good.
Oh, God, that was silly. But like, I feel like he should have had like his hat just kind of like cocked the whole time in every episode, just sort of been like wiping his brow, like, well, Captain, I think we can get her up to warp 5, but you know,
but the steam engines cannot take it. Why are you sweating so much?
But I think, you know, and I don't know, Daniel, I don't know if you really want to just be talking about the engineering aspect, but just as the character, I think Tripp sort of played, I mean, I guess this is obvious to say, but he is the McCoy role, right? Because I think for Enterprise, they were definitely trying to capture the three again. And I think he's definitely that McCoy role. And even though he is sort of the, I always forget the id, super id. Anyway, the most emotional one. I feel like he's almost,
if any of us would know, you would know, Philip. So you know. I cannot help you there.
But I feel like he's almost a harder part of Archer. In other words, like, we always talk about Archer being naive, but like, Tripp has this more like naive charm. Like, he's the one who's just like wanders, you know, he always has a sense of wonder about aliens, but he's also like the most, what's the word? I don't want to say bigoted, but more like, you know, what are they doing? You know, that's crazy. You know, right. But in some ways that's
cheese species.
Yeah, but it's charming because he's so like, that's all I know is Earth and humans. And so to have him have that reaction, and Enterprise is a prequel series, it kind of brings that sort of wonder, which it's hard for us to have as fans being through the 23rd and 24th century already. But so, but I think that is a part of his charm. And I think he definitely makes other characters shine through his relationships with them.
He shines the brightest at the very end, really, I would say.
Oh, come on. He's also the most natural, not the most, but one of the most natural, like, humans in Star Trek, I feel like. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? He feels like somebody you have a conversation with now, whereas a lot of the late, you know, this gap that grows between, you know, these people. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about maybe Scotty as well. But these are just fellas. These are just guys that you can go and have a conversation with. And they're really just down-to-earth people.
Well, not all fellas, and, Daniel, but we'll get to that.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Those two people specifically. You know, we'll get to B'Elanna when we get to B'Elanna.
I like that your engineering qualifications is, would I have a beer with them? So I like.
Well, no. That's not even. I'm not arguing that it makes them better engineers, but I'm just saying that specifically for Trip, this is what makes him an interesting character.
Now, we do have a saying here in the South for engineers, and it's called "Hold my beer while I do this." So I think that's what.
Hold my beer. I like Trip. He's one of my favorites on Enterprise. So I really like what he brings to that show, and he has a lot to offer.
And I think the thing with Trip, and I'm thinking as I say this because Enterprise is probably my least watch, and I'm about to start to go into it, so we'll find out if I'm true or not. Like he's not, you know, to use the sort of EMH metaphor, like, you know, the chief engineer theoretically is trapped in engineering. You know, that's where they're gonna be. But I think Trip is not at all. Like, I think he probably, half his shots are in engineering, and half the time he's either on an away mission, because, again, you're getting back to that TOS where all the senior people just go on away missions all the time. Or he's, you know, on the bridge or whatever.
Well, it helps that the bridge is, like, three steps away from engineering on the NX-01, so. Interesting stuff, but let's move on now and talk about the OG engineer. So, and talk about Scotty, the guy who set all the rules and kind of established.
He literally set the rules.
He did. He in fact did write the books. So I mean, and I'm gonna include
animated
both. Well, we can include animated as well. But both the Kelvin Scotty as the original Scotty. So how do you guys feel about Scotty as a character?
I mean, I think it's TOS, as always, you always have to get rid of the what you think it is, like, you know, the popular image. And so I think what I always liked about Scotty, not that it happened a lot, but to me, obviously brilliant engineer, and you don't necessarily see him in engineering that much because they didn't want to make the set, probably, but or whatever. So, I mean, he usually has his engineering station on the bridge or whatever. Or he's in, like, the Jefferies tube. I don't know if they literally called them that during the original series, but whatever. We retroactively call them Jefferies tubes. But I think of him more as he's probably the second officer, right? I think maybe they played fast and loose with it. You could argue it's Sulu on the bridge. But overall, it's Scotty.
It was Kirk, Spock, and then Scotty.
I feel like Scotty definitely officer.
Yeah
was more in command than Sulu.
I mean,
was.
Technically, Sulu is in command. You know what I'm talking about? He wears
right,
tan.
Right.
He's in the right division.
Exactly. But yeah.
But let's be honest. Nobody cares about the pilots. Yeah.
I think it depends if it's the cage or. Oh, we had that discussion already. I think Scotty in command. I think it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. And I think it's a very interesting. And again, almost like Trip. And again, this has nothing to do with engineering, unless it does. He has sort of that very emotional. You know, he's the one who wants to, like, you know, the. What's that? I can't remember the line. I'm going to mess it up. But, like, you know, the best diplomacy ever is a fully armed phaser bank. You know, it just has that very forceful thing, forceful personality. But he's, again, he loves life, I guess you would say, you know, whether it's drinking or reading technical manuals or whatever. Bad with women, which apparently is a chief engineer tradition that'll be continued.
At least part of the way.
Well, I mean, you know. He's the only serial killer among them, apparently. but I don't know. I guess I'm talking about OG. So I don't know. What about JJ, Darren?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, Simon Pegg does a good job of putting his own spin on the character, but still, you know, he's likable, just like Scotty is. You know, he is very technical, just like Scotty. And I think it really comes together the most in the third film in Star Trek Beyond, where he's really making these big decisions. He's actually on the Enterprise the entire time, and like I mentioned before, you know, he has a great scene with another engineer, with Jayla, who I definitely feel falls into this category, you know, building up her home and listening to the loud beats with the musics. But yeah, I think he's ingenuitive. And there's also, you know, Scotty in TNG, where we see him in a great episode with Geordi as they put their, you know, their engineering minds together and come up with a solution.
He's a bit of a relic in that episode.
Ah, I see what you did there. Also, you know, we can't really not mention the very famous scene from Trouble with Tribbles, where, you know, this is what I think of when I think of Scotty as an engineer, when he doesn't insulted, get insulted.
And then he punches the guy out.
It's not until they insult the Enterprise, the ship, before he actually starts some trouble. So, that's just a wonderful little bit of character development in the original series. Scotty's great. He,
the reason all I can think of is the Star Trek. Is it Star Trek 6 line where they're in the beginning scene and they're all like, why are we all here? And Scotty's like, I bought a boat.
Yeah. Was that 6 or was that in... Yeah, maybe
it wasn't Generations, so.
Okay. But, you know, a lot of people are actually unhappy with the way they treated Scotty in the movies compared to the show. Not that he wasn't comic relief in the show sometimes, but it seemed to be that was his relegated kind of, that's what you're going to be doing the whole time in the movies. And I can understand that kind of criticism.
Well, he did really well in Star Trek IV. I mean, he has funny moments, but that's kind of a funnier
everyone was comic relief
movie in general.
Well, everybody was, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. But he does his part, you know, to solve the mission and to get the transparent aluminum in a very creative way.
Well, I think 2 and 3. I mean, of course, I think that's maybe him finding his role because in motion picture, like everyone, he's just pretty much stolid and falls in the background. I mean, you know, some little scenes, but nothing really to write home about. But I think 2 and 3, you know, 2, of course, he has, you know, the dead trainee, which, you know,
it's his nephew.
Is his nephew, but depends on how much you want to believe his canon. But anyway, and then the third one, he's, you know, steals the Enterprise and, you know, gets promoted and all that stuff. And
sabotages Excelsior. Excelsior.
Right. So.
Really funny. But let's now then.
Sulu's always giving him the stink eye whenever he comes over to visit. He's like, I remember last time you were here, Scotty, you know.
This security detail. It's just standard procedure.
It's how I welcome all my old friends.
For officers ending in Y.
Yeah. All right, so moving on, let's talk a little Geordi, guys.
Wait.
I mean,
you just
before we get to
Geordi,
there's like 20 chief engineers from the Enterprise D.
I mean,
you just skipped
Argyle.
We can talk Argyle. We can talk. I was going to say McGonagall, but that's not right. McDougal. We can talk. Although, oh my God, if McGonagall was chief engineer of the Enterprise. That would be the most amazing
thing. I think
she's
magic powered.
She would have been helpful during where no one has gone before, when everything just starts changing shapes, you know.
Transitive technology, indistinguishable from magic, or is it magic?
Great, now we have to cast all of Harry Potter in the Next Generation.
Yes.
Harry is Wesley, episode. You know, always fixing things and messing them up.
Would Harry be Wesley? Yeah, I guess Harry would be Wesley. Oh, hang on. Now I kind of want to do this.
To follow up on when we cast A Christmas Carol, someone brought it to my attention. Did we cast Sisko?
I don't think we really played that hard. I can't remember. I don't even know who.
I don't think we did, but that's all right. You know, he'll be the narrator.
Oh, well, there you go.
Is it just going to be like, oh, what's the very famous episode?
He's sitting.
Merry Christmas to all.
And it's real. The story's real.
Like, what's the episode? The It's a Fake episode.
In the Pale Moonlight.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's how the story begins. Like, he's just in front of the computer doing the log.
He's taking off his uniform. He's got his drink in hand. He's just totally upset about having to read this story.
Maybe I should start at the beginning.
Okay, that's canon.
And now you can look, listeners, you can look forward to a future episode where we do an entire crossover where we cast all the Harry Potter characters in the Star Trek universe.
Yeah.
That'll be fantastic.
But yeah.
But moving past McGonagall.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and we've talked about this offline before, but, you know, the history, at least of the Next Generation, was like, well, maybe we don't need an engineering, and we weren't even going to have an engineering set. We don't even need a chief engineer. And then, you know, and then obviously things changed.
That's true. He when they realized that they weren't going to build a set, that he wrote scenes to include it so that they had to build
it in the pilot.
In the pilot. Which is an awesome engineering set, I mean.
Yeah, so we get these, so for the first season, we get these, I mean, we get these literally these throwaway characters.
Revolving door of engineers.
Yeah, which actually makes a lot more sense. I mean, it does make sense that there is one chief engineer, quote unquote, but like you were saying, Darren, for Enterprise, it would make more sense that there's a team. And of course, you would have one leader, but it would also make sense that that one leader isn't the only person to represent
you
engineering.
You need a department head, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But like then again, sometimes he's going to be off work. So it would make sense that, you know, you could have a rotating
assistant
kind of
engineer.
Set of people that... Yeah.
And they weren't
assistant
a bridge
to
officer.
The
and
engineer.
They weren't a bridge officer. They were the
yes.
head of a department, but they weren't, you know, they didn't have a station up there.
Station. Oh, sorry.
Obviously, we don't do that because budgetary reasons for guest actors and stuff like that. But that would be, to me, the most interesting thing kind of to do because, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of responsibility for one person to have, especially, you know, on that Enterprise because of how big it is and how many people there are.
What if it separates, Daniel? I mean, who? Which side is the engineer going to go on? That's the
probably where the engines are.
With.
I wouldn't say the engineering.
Are you saying there's no engines on the saucer, Philip? I mean,
two little impulse things that'll get you nowhere. So,
well, they get you nowhere.
Well, and there has to be two of them. There's like, you know, it's like a lieutenant junior grade for like the port. Impulse, and then like a lieutenant junior grade for the starboard impulse.
Does that mean when the saucer wants to, when it wants to resign, it has to take off its little engine and put it on the table?
Eject the fusion cores.
Anyways, yeah, so we're a little off tangent there.
Well, but I think, but, yeah, again, so, I think Geordi, for most of the time, actually is in engineering. Generations joke aside. I mean, you know, if you look at him, yeah, he's up there in bridge.
He gets really good at barrel rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, he can barrel like no other. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that for the first time, again, chronologically, it's the second time, but third time, really. You know, you sort of see more of chief engineering, though I don't know. I always do laugh about, like, he's alone or there's, you know, in the first season and a half, there's literally, like, zero people in engineering every time you go down.
Yeah,
there.
There's nobody down.
And, like when Geordi's not even the engineer, he's still the you know, helm boy. He just walks down to engineering. There's no one there. And he's like, I guess I'll be in charge here.
Well, I mean, at least the original engine room had, like, that mesh. I mean, you're literally standing next to the reaction action control chamber. I mean, that is where the antimatter and matter are smashed together. To power the warp drive. Do you really want to be standing right next to that thing?
Daniel, I feel like this,
well,
I feel
fortunately,
like this is
what
it's like to work with
Barclay. Fortunately, we know that nothing ever goes wrong with the warp
That's
core.
True.
So it's
no,
totally.
Never.
I mean, look,
never.
If anything goes safe. Wrong, you can eject it. It's what happens every time there's a problem, and that works perfectly. That's why we have an ejection system.
Yes,
I mean,
yes. Literally, it's so independent, it cannot go down under any
yeah,
circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, like, you
so.
Know, that's your fail-safe. Nothing will ever stop that fail-safe.
Now, coolant and leaks, that happens all the time. I mean, that's just a bug we got to work out of the system.
And in the event that something terrible goes wrong with the ejection system, we still have the transporter. It's totally
yeah.
fine. There's no reason why we could never
saucer
be able to get
separation,
rid of
separation, you know, just leave that half of the ship.
The bigger
Sir,
half.
Sir, I have a splinter. Well, you know, let's just separate and leave that half of the ship to die.
There are so many fail-safes. Literally, there's no reason the ship should get destroyed by its
yeah.
engine core
yeah.
exploding. There's no reason it should. Anyways, how do we feel about this? This is actually a really interesting topic. How do we feel about the way that the original series, and really all the other series, kind of handle this versus how TNG started to handle it but then reverted? Like, in Discovery, for example, do we want to see, you know, 20 engineers? Or do we want to see, you know, would you, for a new show, would you be like, oh, no, it's cool if there's only one or two guys down there?
Well, I thought it was funny in your introduction, you talked about, like, every ship has to have a captain, but, like, I don't know what Discovery, I mean, they're going to have a captain, but, like, it's not going to be, like, captain. I don't know. Who knows what it's going to be like? You know what I'm saying? But it'll be interesting. Well, you know, it's one of those things about do we necessarily have to care about every position, which I know sounds very harsh, but, like, you know, the doctor, there could be a revolving doctor every, you know, which is, I mean, let's be, well, and it's all fictional, so nothing has to be real, but, like, that's the real military life. Everyone, it's like, no one's done the same job for more than a year or a year and a half or 2 years in the real military, which, again, I know Starfleet's not a military, settle, Daniel. But you're gonna have crew rotations, and it just seems unlikely for everyone's going to be in that position for like 7 to 14 to 20 years.
We keep pulling out the chair. Philip just won't sit down.
So I think it would be good to have maybe some positions where you can just sort of cycle through, you know, hire an actor for 2 to 3 episodes and then be like, oh.
On the other hand, I do want to point, I think that the continuity is important. So like having those same 3 or 4 actors doing it is ideal. You know, I don't want just somebody new every week. I would want it to be like the same set of people that do it, because this is a community. This is a thing.
Or
maybe every year you can switch that up or something, just to make it seem like it has some sort of, like, you know how like in Voyager we always saw Carrie every now and again, more in the beginning than later, obviously, but we saw him and he kind of was.
Speaking of engineers, because you brought up Carrie, he's an engineer. I'm going to go with it. I'm still about to finish my rewatch of Voyager, but I know this, so I can still talk about it, so I'm not spoiling myself. But, like, killing Carrie in the penultimate episode of Voyager, isn't that just a little, like, almost there?
You almost made it home, Carrie. You almost made it
home. To your wife and children.
It's a slap in the face, for sure.
Well, I think with Discovery, I mean, I'm not as up to date on all the positions that have been cast, but I know that the lead's a lieutenant.
Commander.
And then there's like a specialist.
There's a fungus specialist.
Fungus specialist.
Yes.
Yes.
This is so, let's talk about
Egon,
this.
Egon Spengler of space.
I want to be careful. Oh, that's true. He did say that. I want to be careful because we don't want to get bogged down.
No,
yeah,
but
this is a podcast.
But the point I was just going to make was that it's almost like they're building a lot more of not a fully Lower Decks show, but a show that is less focused on the bridge crew and the department head. So to your question on should we see a chief engineer? Well, maybe we should, but if they're going to focus on the interpersonal relationships and on the day to day and a lot of that stuff, we may not go to the bridge as much or see the main engineering set, which I would be fine with if that's the way they're going to take it, as long as they are consistent with how they're going to portray it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's amazing that we are getting to see these specialists, because these were one-off characters for the longest time. So, yeah, picking somebody to be the fungologist, I don't remember the specific term.
Well, I just love that they keep talking about Raph's character as, like, the space fungus expert. Like, can you just say science officer? Because I don't, like, it must be really integral to the plot that you keep repeating it.
That's what's so good about it. That's what I love about it, because it's like, yeah, we do, you know, yeah, you're the head of this, you're the captain or the first officer, you're the chief engineer. Like, I do love the fact that they're drilling down here now, because, yeah, it makes more sense. You know, like, we did get a little bit of that with, like, botany and stuff like that earlier on in some
botany
of the shows, but
big.
Commander
like,
Darren
oh,
was
no.
Was a specialist. Astro,
yeah, I can't remember specifically.
Planetary,
but yeah,
like a planetary scientist or something like that.
Yep, keep doing that. Keep doing that stuff, especially if we are focusing on the not senior staff. Anyways,
and you can also have the rotations. Like, in other words, even though it seems like it, everyone really shouldn't be on duty 24 or 26, if you're in Deep Space Nine, hours a day.
Right.
You know, like, that's crazy. You know, and so you have your sort of your alpha, beta, gamma, three shifts.
Are they on shift for 525,600? Philip,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
But like, you know, like, I always think in Next Generation they didn't do it, but they suggested it. Like, Crusher would be like, oh, well, Doctor whoever. I mean, Sailor would be one, but there was another one that I feel like they mentioned from time to time. And so yeah.
But like, think about it this way, right? Like, the doctors, we don't see them when they're doing normal routine checkups. We don't watch them do their jobs when their job is routine.
Yes.
So in the
same
way, Daniel,
there was no turnaround and cough scene ever in Star Trek.
If you're a space, you know, fungologist, we're not going to watch you do your job unless your job has something to do with the plot or is interesting in some way.
They get a new captain, and it's a space fungus entity, silicon-based.
Captain Mushroom?
So he has to monitor this new being every day.
Now, Darren,
I just found the premise.
Things are going to be wild and crazy, because I hear he's a really fun guy.
Fun guy. So what's the next engineer we're talking about, Daniel?
Now we're moving on.
You took it too far, Philip.
Philip mentioned Deep Space Nine, so let's talk about it.
Now,
the job of
technically
the,
not the chief engineer,
not quote unquote, but by all definitions,
was
I, it, I would
was
I would
he
say,
like head of operations, yeah,
chief of operations.
He was the head of operations.
Oh,
chief.
Geez,
right. It's literally right.
Well, because
right
you know how else
do you get an extra pip for that? No.
How else do you translate transporter chief to what? Chief of operations, of course.
That's true. They wanted to keep calling him chief, so they just bent the title around.
Well, it's officer of operations, but I guess we have to. So you're the chief of operations. Still works, right?
Yeah.
So, and real quick, too, this is another thing. You know, Geordi had a bit of this in TNG and Scotty and TOS and stuff. I would feel like having a specific person trained in just the operations of the transporter would actually be very useful and helpful. So, to me, it's actually it's a specified discipline within engineering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, it's weird to kind of... Right, boring most of the time. But I don't care if it's boring most of the time.
There's
as long
5 seconds
in O'Brien comics where he's just standing there. No, O'Brien, no. What are you talking about? Beam them up. Beam them up from where? I don't even know what you're talking about. And they're dead.
It's like, yeah.
I'm just like imagining like he has like dummies of the other crew members, like, you know, or just like
he's talking to them. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Because like
another lonely day at transporter room 3.
No, like that's what happens. You always see like now O'Brien, and you just see the explosion, and you have to wait for like the 5 seconds. Like we got him, and like O'Brien's just like reporting that, and he's like, shit, let me go get something, and he's like trying to get their patterns out of the buffer, and you know.
It's like, you know, he's just sitting there. He's just literally sitting at a station, and it's like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he gets called. It's like, O'Brien, do you have them? And he's like, what?
No,
I'm
picturing him on the
about?
Pad, and it's like one of the panels open, and he's like degaussing it. And all of a sudden, you hear, no, O'Brien. He's just looking up like, well, they're dead.
Anyways, so it is useful to, I would imagine, to
and
to
I would
maybe,
like
you
to
know,
see
not,
more
not that
of
he
that.
Shouldn't be able to get
the
promoted.
Specialists. Yeah.
Well, but you know.
And I think, now, to me, and I'm just going to play with this because Deep Space Nine, I can do that.
Hey, he built ships and bottles, so obviously he can make that jump to chief engineer of the entire station.
But calling him chief of operations, now, so is he really the chief engineer or is he like the data of Deep Space Nine?
He's the captain of ops, so basically Sisko needs to bow down to him. So,
no, I mean, obviously he's more the engineer, but I just feel like that operations. Now they're throwing things crazy. Okay, is he an engineer? Is it operations? I know they both wear.
Look,
gold.
He's got to keep the station from tilting at a 45-degree angle, or we're totally not going to recognize it in space.
They all turn evil.
No, I would throw this out. I mean, again, Chief O'Brien, love him on Deep Space Nine. I'm not actually saying I want to replace him, but. Would it have made sense to have a Cardassian as the chief of operations?
And they're just thinking they're that super it suspicious makes, of him the entire time.
Well, yeah.
It makes sense that it is Chief O'Brien because of that reason.
Oh, because of his Cardassian experience? Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if I've ever actually thought about it, but he has had experience with
Cardassians killing them
before,
mostly, Daniel.
Yeah, I was going to say
killing them mostly. But also, I imagine
I've used their technology, weapons.
Well, Daniel, once you
perform mechanical tasks, killing, you know,
once you've killed a man, you've mastered his technology.
Yes.
Let's just say he padded his resume really well to get that promotion.
You know who I know, the cutest. I meant Captain. Oh God, this is embarrassing, Sisko.
Awkward. Okay. Awkward. You know, I feel like, so he had a pretty rough go of it early on.
O'Brien must suffer.
Wait, are you talking?
Well, no, O'Brien had a rough go of it the whole time. But I mean, specifically in regards to his job, he had a rough go of it.
I thought you meant his wife, Daniel, and I was going to say, that's uncalled for, and stop it.
We need a school. Sorry.
But you know what? I think he coasted the rest of the year. I mean, what did they do?
Oh,
they didn't go
anywhere.
Are you
saying, like, once he fixed everything, he's like...
Yeah, once everything got settled in...
Well, that's why they blew it up,
sure.
You know, and then he had to fix it again.
I mean, like, civil defense was a bad day. I mean,
yeah.
He almost...
Yeah, it was
I mean,
a bad
that's
day.
As pretty bad as you can
he
get.
He had to deal with the occasional voles, you know.
Yep, there were voles. But then, you know, eventually he gets Rom, and he just tells Rom to do everything.
That's true. Rom, I mean, if Rom wasn't going to be Negus, he'd probably end up just being
chief engineer.
Head of operations.
Yeah, who became chief engineer of Deep Space Nine after O'Brien left?
Eh, we don't care.
I don't know. No, I love that. That's the end of Deep Space Nine, and because it's kind of like, I don't know, Jake.
Like the number three. Person, Jake. Like Jake. The number three person is just like, so are we getting a replacement command crew or what?
It's basically because Colonel Kira.
We're losing key members.
Bashir, and that's about it. And Ezra, but.
Yeah, there's not a lot. Yeah. So Jake, I know you wanted to be a journalist, but what we really
maybe
need
it was
is
Nog.
Someone in command.
Or, I mean, it's Nog, maybe, I guess.
He was security, though.
Yeah, he was more command.
Well, on the Defiant. On the Defiant, you can be whatever the heck you want. If you're the science officer, you're the helmsman. Nothing is sacred on the Defiant, okay? You're the counselor. You're manning the weapons console, okay?
O'Brien, you should fly the ship today. Okay.
I've never done this before, but it's okay.
I've killed a Cardassian, so I've mastered
it's a
his
small
technology.
Ship. Everyone gets a turn, you know. You just
everyone
like,
gets a turn.
It's like the Game of Life spin wheel, you know. Oh, I got a 3, the captain this time.
No, but there is a fundamental difference between being a chief engineer on a starship and one on a space station. And
I was going to say he technically was chief engineer of the Defiant. I forgot that, so yeah.
Yes, he was. But again, I said starship, not rinky dink.
What does a chief engineer need with a starship?
Yeah, I just remember seeing I'm sorry, the Visitor, right? And I'm sure there's more episodes than that, but you sort of see the engineering section of the Defiant in that episode,
the Defiant,
particularly.
Right.
And there's other ones too.
Oh,
but it's
right.
Such a small little, like closet.
It is small. Yeah. It is very small. You know, it's like, hey, we need half the warp core.
Half. It's like a tenth.
Just stand on the. No, I meant like it's like the top half because the rest is sunk into the floor. It's like, you know, just step over those power transfer conduits. Don't even worry. Like, it's totally safe.
He like pulls out crystals out of his pocket to power it.
Yeah, so it's, you know, Chief O'Brien had a little bit of a different go of it than the ones we've talked about previously. But let's move on to the chief engineer of another small ship.
Well, doesn't he die in the beginning of the series?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that guy because I don't remember his name or even what it looks like.
Did he even have a name? I don't even know.
I'm sure he did.
You mean the chief engineer of the Jean Valjean?
Nah, we don't care about him either.
No, that's Belana Torres. That was the Marquis ship. And,
oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. Sorry, you're right.
Minus 5 Voyager points, Daniel.
Which in... No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to convert that
so,
to
yes,
TNG
let's
points,
talk
but...
about a certain Mr. Riddell's favorite character. And talk.
You know, let's just
Belana
skip this
Torres.
One. I think we need
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he said it all.
Towards the next series.
Stay tuned to Punch It for the Belana Torres life story autobiography rewrite.
So, besides Jayla, which you mentioned, Darren, a few times now, which is a fantastic example, really the only female engineer that we, major female engineer. I mean, we had guest stuff like Leah Brahms and stuff like that.
You can't.
Wait, is this holographic Leah Brahms or?
No, this is real Belana Torres is who we're talking about now.
Yeah, I think she's interesting. You see her with your team sometimes. I know Voyager being such a small ship, no one's ever alone, unless you're 7 of 9, then you're just by yourself in your own set.
You get your whole cargo bay and your whole astrobatics lab
it's just you.
To yourself.
Unless the occasional, like, Cousin Timmy Borg children, they come in. But yeah, no, I think Belana is interesting. Again, you know, I think this is the first one. I mean, Geordi, not that Geordi was super close with Captain Picard, but I think Belana and Janeway sort of had this interesting relationship. I think
they scienced the science really hard, and they were really sciencey about it.
Yeah, well, I think they kind of built up, and then I'm going to be very general, which means I'm probably being wrong. They built up their relationship, not a lot, but I mean, like, they were kind of closer second and third season than just, like, back to their corners after that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there was potential for them
married,
to be sort of, you know, science partners. I'm gonna, like, taking an exam. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, but, like, you know, that they do have that bond.
I know what you mean.
You know.
Well, because Janeway had to be brought around to considering her for the position. And then very early on, we get the episode Parallax.
Something. It was a weird. Yeah, I can't remember the title. It was really weird.
Yeah, where they're coming back to the Voyager, and they're like, was it the one pointing towards us or the one pointed away from us? And
oh yeah, that
wrong.
Oh, yeah,
and yeah. Then she was put in her place for the rest of 7 years,
but, forced to marry Tom. No,
but you know, to,
that was her punishment
to unite the command divisions and engineering divisions.
wait, are we sort of saying like Game of Thrones Voyager style?
That's exactly what happened.
I thought I didn't even watch that show, and I'm still gonna make the reference.
The great houses of yellow.
It
could have
just been
red.
to unite the Maquis and the Starfleet.
Yeah, actually, Caretaker was the Red Wedding. So,
oh gosh, but.
I half get that reference.
So do I. Yeah. I just made it up. I don't even
watch it. We're hip with the pop culture,
I know,
guys.
The kids and their snapper chapters.
Sorry for the spoilers that we don't even understand. if there were any on that
Are
one.
Are they even spoilers then? I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
But I mean,
if there's
really
a spoiler
good...
in the woods and you don't know what it is, does it really count? I don't know.
Well, you need a really good engineer if you have an engine that sells at pivot. I mean, that's going to take a lot of maintenance. And I mean, you had two warp cores to maintain, according to
you have organic diagrams, gel packs,
which were more trouble than they were worth, apparently. But you know, she's in sick bay. But no, but Lana, you know, was a great character, and she's really the Maquis character.
Yeah.
Because Chakotay is basically like, with all of his Starfleet training and how he just falls in line, like he's. He's really not the representation of the Maquis crew. It's B'Elanna. She's the main representation of this other crew.
And I think she's the one, because I think of Geordi as more of like a corporate chief engineer. Like he could do a galaxy class.
He's got his briefcase.
Yeah, yeah. But B'Elanna, like she could make something out of a pile of, you know, she's a MacGyver. I think Trip is a MacGyver. I think Scotty's definitely a MacGyver. I don't think Geordi is a MacGyver. I think he's a corporate guy.
And I don't think O'Brien's a MacGyver either.
I don't know. He could go both. I don't know. But like, I see B'Elanna, like, you know, she's the one who refashioned the Warhead. If I can think of that episode title.
Warhead.
There you go. But she did the robot in...
Prototype?
Shoot.
Prototype.
Oh, okay. You're right. That was it. And then, let's see. She had, I forget the missile.
Missile.
No,
it wasn't missile.
I actually forget what that one was. It was the Cardassian one. But anyway, I can't remember.
Juggernaut.
Okay, there you go.
I think it was called.
Right. And then she met Charles Xavier. And, that's wrong.
That
one.
Was X-Men. X-Men.
And you know who else was in X-Men? Funny story. But anyway. But no, I think like, you know, she's the one who can, and obviously being the Maquis, you know, she had to. What can I do with a rebuilt 10-year-old engine or whatever? But I think she's the one where being the chief engineer on Voyager, I think, was different for her because she sort of is now playing the corporate role, and so obviously you get the whole, you know, the Klingon story with her and working with others and punching them in faces. But I think she got to display her talents, you know, a little bit more on the down and dirty side, just instead of like, oh, the warp engine's working, you know. Fix the warp engines. You know, she did that sometimes, but I think she got to play a little bit more.
Well, yeah, plus all of the things that she had to do with the doctor. Anytime there was something going wrong with him, you know, she kind of had to play doctor for the doctor. I think besides, I mean, you know, we joked a little bit about it, but O'Brien had a rough go in the beginning of Deep Space Nine, but I think by far B'Elanna had the toughest task.
I mean,
you know,
look, you know how hard it is to press that reset button?
I'm kidding. You know, in universe, like, she had to do everything. I mean, like, and she would have had to have done it for as long as she was able, basically. And she did have to do it day in, day out for the 7 years.
I mean, she had to put in Borg alcoves, okay?
You know, knowing
that
is...
on your resume.
No, I think B'Elanna, you know, she's a really good character. I think, like Philip said, she is very MacGyver-esque, very... you know, putting things together. But this also, even with the smaller crew of Voyager, I think we should have had more specialists, like we've been saying. I mean, we should have had a transporter specialist, and especially like a computer specialist with the new bioneural circuitry. Like, she knows nothing of that. She should have no knowledge of that at all. Like, there should be someone.
Joe Carey is a genius about it. And the paper he's going to write when he gets home about the effect.
Oh, by the way, the fact that there is seemingly no computer experts in the Star Trek universe drives me nuts, because engineering and computer science.
I want to see someone chilling in the computer core, like that's their space. They got pictures up.
Is it gonna be like season three or something? And then like the captain has to force a call down to the IT section. And
I'm
just have, like,
listen,
the blue shirt.
Have you tried turning the warp core off and on?
No, that's the thing. That department would never handle the warp core. There's a huge difference between engineering and computer science. Like, that is an entirely different discipline, and neither of those things would cross.
I lost my password, my Android reset it, and it's like 80 characters long. Could you help me get back into my computer?
Think about it. It's like taking your car to the mechanic and having them fix your iPad because it's in your car. It makes no sense. Those people would look at you completely sideways, would have no idea how to fix it.
Well, when your car becomes a sentient life form, then who are you going to be talking to?
I'm just saying, that's always upset me. Engineering is applied science. Anyway, whatever, it's fine.
Have we ever seen the computer?
Yes.
Core.
The core?
Oh, the core. Yes, in that one episode with Wesley and the Nanites, right? That was
Yes, that's right. They were in the it's like an adjunct station right next to the computer core.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
Because I'm like,
the upper core. Yeah.
You know, if I don't know, I don't memorize technical scripts. I'm looking at you, Darren. But like, how much the computer takes up in ships? I mean, Enterprise D is the only one I can really think off the top of my head.
It's
but,
really big.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like.
It's
yeah.
just as it's, significant a component than the warp yeah. core is.
Yeah, it's like,
and there's no way to eject the computer core.
Like, no, it's like eight. It's like eight decks tall at least, and there's two in the saucer, and there's one in the secondary on the Enterprise D.
And then there's a MacBook Pro.
It's usually the biggest physical volume space, probably second only to like the deuterium fuel tank. Like, it is really big. Because it's, I mean, everything, that's why this ship, this advanced, is possible. Because, like you said, you know, Daniel, everything is routed through the computer. It does so much that people don't do. So it's very important.
So, yes, please, 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 writers of Discovery.
The computer.
Rectify this. This is an entire system on the ship that needs to be addressed.
Put them in engineering. Give them, you know, I guess
a corner,
sure. They can be computer engineers or whatever you want to call them. That's totally fine. But it's a different discipline entirely than making a ship go faster than light through space. And it's.
And I just feel like in Discovery, if they're gonna do it on TOS, like they have to have like sort of like the ammo belt full of like the little chips or whatever you call the little data.
I want an M4 computer specialist.
Ah, Daystrom. Right.
Hey, now there's an idea that would be pretty cool.
Graduate of the Daystrom Institute of IT, yeah.
Where you can do such careers as destroying starships. Oh.
Anyway, sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent, but
I agree with that, and hopefully Discovery's. I'm just kidding. That's
not gonna happen.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
The computer people will never have their day.
Curses. Go ahead.
I was just saying, if computer people can't get representation on Star Trek, then
that's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Where
they keep telling us the nerds have won, but come on now. You know what? Give us our own color. Let us be the purple people, or I don't know, the silver people, or something.
Is this like the Geek Squad? Like they all have to wear ties. They're in white.
How funny would that be?
We have special turbolifts that roll up to your area.
The only Starfleet people to wear ties and stuff.
They're actually on Segways in the starship.
with bike helmets and stuff, yeah.
I'm picturing a little worker bee with the little white stripe on the side, and it's just like...
Oh, man. Or, you know what? You can just put a pair of glasses on an exocomp and have them fly around the ship and do it. It'd be totally fine.
I like...
Oh, see, that would be awesome.
Pair of glasses. It's like...
Anyways.
Come on, Exy. Let's go fix the upper core.
Oh no, the computers in the elementary classroom aren't working. We've got to go check it out.
Or just Picard's like, look, I can't read my mail. I can't read my Starfleet communiques on this this pad with the double D. Yes. Could you fix this? I can't remember my password.
I can see it because like Picard, I like how his laptop has no wires. Like he just picks it up and like shaking it and like "Work, computer," with the one button. It's like, have you pressed the one button? You're like, I pressed the one button.
Jordy, I got like 80 pads on this table, and I think half of them just are uncharged, so I don't even know what
that's,
to do.
That's exactly why he has so many on the other table. Because
he's like, oh, I guess another one throws out.
He's an older gentleman, and he doesn't really understand that he's got to charge it.
Sorry. This one's done. He's pretty
smart, and he builds all the tables to be inductive chargers.
Yeah. Like, he picks it up, he's looking for the trash can, which don't exist, and he just lays it on the table. Oh, and then, replicator, new iPad.
Jordy comes by and collects them all at the end of the day, and he's like, just shakes his head, I hate my job.
He puts it, or Picard takes them and puts them back in the replicator to be turned back into, like, energy. He recycles them.
Oh, man. Anyways, so...
So engineers.
So actually, that's a... You know, we're talking here about B'Elanna, kind of. We were at some point today.
Not so much anymore, no. But that's all right.
But so that's a super interesting point because B'Elanna, you know, this bioneural... You're right, Darren. This bioneural circuitry should have...
I'm sorry, you just say her name as if we're inserting it in post.
B'Elanna.
You're like, well, today we're talking about B'Elanna. And it's really great when B'Elanna does her engineering.
But
You're saying.
So, the bioneural circuitry should have its own specialist at least. And then, you know, because of course there are literally, because the Doctor and B'Elanna are the ones that work on it all the time. And there are engineering aspects of it. And there are also medical aspects of it as well, I suppose. But that is a unique discipline. That is something that somebody should focus on because it's super important to how that ship runs.
Have an awesome shirt that's blue and gold,
half and half
down the middle.
Oh man, that would be pretty cool.
So, but yeah. Anyways. Well, hopefully we'll get more diversity not only in characters but in specialties in Discovery.
Because honestly, you know, after this conversation, I mean, this has been something that's always bothered me, but after this conversation, you know, talking about fungologists and we still don't get any darn computer scientists, I'm going to be pretty upset. Anyways.
Watch, we'll get a computer scientist, but it'll be on the Klingon ship. He'll be like,
wait, now I'm trying to imagine.
Captains are like, it is unhonorable that the killer cams in this pad are unaligned. Fix it.
So they don't.
Your password does not have a special character.
Honor. You cannot make honor all of your passwords, Captain. You must diversify with an upper and a lowercase character.
Oh man.
I capitalize the H. Gah!
You know, they don't have any word for like compassion or surrender, but they have a word for reboot. For sure. So,
picturing, I don't know what a Discovery Klingon's gonna look like, if it's gonna be TOS-y or what, but like he still has the glasses. So.
No, one glass because he's got the eye patch.
Oh, yeah, right, the eye patch. Now, is that like the eye patch?
No, it's a display on the inside. So his eye actually works totally fine, but it like, gives him like a heads up display
like the Doctor
for
Who.
The entire time.
Yeah. Oh man, God, I'm sorry. I keep trying to move on, and I keep thinking of things like, what if the view screen goes out on the ship, and like, who do you call? Like, you can't just call
Data. Everyone... Get back there. The cables. Something. Put it. Input two. Input three. No. Oh man.
But it's that
gosh.
Awkward thing where like everyone's on the bridge trying not to pay like. You know, they're ignoring the people that are trying to fix the view screen. You know, like when someone's in your house fixing your cable, you're like, I'm just going to find a book to read.
And of course, Picard's like, I bet you Kelvin Kirk didn't have to deal with this because it was glass.
So here's the thing. When you're on the bridge, like you can sort of like pass the hours just like, oh, let me look at the view screen. And then like when it's not working, it's like if someone took your smartphone away and you had to wait for 2 hours, like, what are you going to do? You're like,
You're saying like Deep Space Nine where they could turn off the view screen and it's like, I'm kind of bored. There's nothing to do. It's on screensaver and it's just flying through space.
Wait a minute, no. No. What happens is the screensaver turns to Windows 98 flying through space screensaver, so you just get those pixel dots. That would be awesome.
Mr. LaForge, I thought we were at all stop. We are, sir. That's the screensaver. or instead it goes to the, what is it, the, like the Windows maze. Oh, where, like, yeah. It pops up and it's like, mission log, day 5, we've been stuck in this maze. Who knows when the Enterprise will ever escape. Oh, we actually, I just jiggled this pad over here and
we're fine. We're okay.
I feel really embarrassed, but that was a screensaver.
Oh, man. There's this great scene in The Office where Michael Scott is giving a presentation up front, and right behind him there's a computer.
Oh.
Where the, it's one of those.
It's a DVD.
Yeah.
The VHS.
And it was just the icon
where it bounces around.
Bouncing around, and they're all like getting excited because it's going to bounce exactly perfectly in the corner, and they all get disappointed. And he's like, oh, why is everybody cheering? But anyway, so it's, yeah. That's what I'm thinking is happening on the Enterprise. Anyways.
Is it the United Federation of Planets logo?
Exactly. Oh man, I really kind of like thinking of Picard as a computer incompetent older gentleman. It's kind of funny. Anyways, sorry. We digress. Guys, we've had so much fun talking about engineers. Let's, you guys, anything else to say you want to talk about? Anything you're looking forward to maybe in Discovery that you hope they do, or something we may have missed? Anything else you have left to say about the people that make us go?
We like things. Things that people that make us go, and then we'll phaser them if they don't comply. No, I think we've pretty much said it all, but we're hopeful for either a different take or some more specialists in Discovery. I think that would be great. But yeah, this is it's a well portrayed field, and we just want to see more. We just want, like most Star Trek, we want to see more people doing what they enjoy, because everyone loves being in the Federation.
Hey, Philip. If What's people up? Wanted to talk to you about the best methodology for ejecting the warp core, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, first you have to have set the password correct on there, and then not deleted any files. That's why there's a system administrator who works in engineering, actually. But they can find me on Twitter, where I'll not tell you my password on there, but my handle, I can tell you, is NC Public Servant.
I'm now just picturing the system administrator is the only person who can eject the warp core because it's like a System 32 component.
Yeah,
like, it's on the don't roof. Get rid of that. It's you on the really, roof. it's not going to be good.
You just have to pseudo eject warp core. By the way, that's a very nerdy joke. Aha. Darren, what about you? How are people going to get a hold of you in case they need some saucer separation?
Saucer separation, that's right up my alley. Well, you know which side of the ship I'm going to be on in case of a saucer separation. Well, they can find me on Twitter, username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrScifi, or my website, drscifi.com, where I blog about my occupation of Southern California as a stormtrooper member of the 501st Legion, and my other podcast, Goodnight Moon, where I talk with my 4-year-old daughter about space exploration and saucer separation, maybe.
It's adorable. You should listen. Everybody should give it a listen.
It is adorable, and it's been doing really well. We have a nice little listener group, and we're just growing it each time. A lot of things in the plans, and we'll do it until she decides not to, because she's 4.
Also, Darren, with your 501st stuff going on now, it's got to be a tough time for you. You know what, with everything that's been going on recently.
Yeah, you know, the Star Wars fandom right now, it's just, to say one word, is incredible. It's doing actually very, very well right now, and it's a lot of fun. But I have actually been able to do some really cool troops. Children's Hospital of Los Angeles was really cool, and we're kind of winding down for the end of the year, but next one should be the Disney half marathon that they have every January out by Disneyland. We cheer on the runners as they run around in our Star Wars costumes. So it's a lot of fun.
Good stuff. And if people want to get a hold of me, they can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That is the number one, as in the number of cores on the Enterprise.
As in the number one character on Discovery?
Hey, Philip, what are we chatting about next week?
Star Trek. No, next week.
Oh, nice. Okay, good.
Next week, as we end 2016 and begin 2017, we're going to kind of talk about not only just a year in review, but more like 50 years in review, because of course 2016 was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. So we're going to talk about how we saw the 50th anniversary celebrated and what it meant to us, and perhaps what future anniversaries are coming up and how we can celebrate those. I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Daniel Prue, stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.